And about 400 of those, we've had people get healed, everything from cancer to, 500. How many cancers have been healed there? 7. So what happens is a person gets in a really desperate place, and they don't know Jesus, and then just like the New Testament, the Lord ambushes them. And but this one, this ambush is a little more unusual than our usual one, but we've been walking in just an unusual season. And we had just got back from our men's retreat. It was just so crazy. Just so many great things happened. And I'm just still processing all the little miracles, healing, and all kinds of revelation and that kind of thing. So tell us what happened to you. You're driving down the street. Tell us how you got that revelation of what you're supposed to, you know, where you're supposed to go. Was it like an internal audible voice, or was it a...
It was more like an unction. Like, okay. Okay, so I was... can you guys hear me? I have a very soft voice. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay. I have a soft voice, so I'm not much of a yeller either. So, okay. I'm just driving down the street, and I come across this one street, and I felt like the Lord said, go down this street.
You know, what street were you driving on?
Geronimo. Geronimo, and then I came up to Los Alisos. I was driving home from work, and... So I just felt like the Lord said, turn left.
How did you hear the Lord say, turn left? It's an impression, or was it a voice? Or?
No, it's more like a unction, or like a feeling, like maybe I should just turn down here. Like I hear the Lord differently sometimes. This season, I'm getting a lot of, like, I just feel like I should do this kind of thing. Usually I hear him very clearly. But not this, like, the Lord speaks to us different ways, so.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because one thing I've learned with the Lord is, of course, the basis for hearing anything is from the Scriptures, right? So everything that we hear has got to line up with that, and often the Lord will give us Scriptures. But the interesting thing is, for a lot of people, is hearing the voice of God. How do I hear the voice of the Lord? How do I hear a Scripture? Do I hear it internally? Do I hear an impression? Sometimes I become aware of something, and I don't even know how I'm becoming aware of. I've had God talk to me, and I'm thinking, how are you talking to me right now? Because I'm not hearing an internal audible. I just know the right thing to do. Sometimes there's a strong impression. So these are various ways that we hear. And there's other ways, of course, by interpreting things that the Lord gives us in dreams. By the way, one of the things that's been happening to us is we've been really helping a lot of Persians come to the Lord in the warehouse. And various cultures, especially ancient cultures, have been hearing the Lord through dreams and visions, including the Bible cultures, for years and years. And it's not as widespread in the United States, although this level of communication, you know, many, many Bible characters, including Joseph and Mary, or especially Joseph, is this how he knew what to do next, right? So great thing is, God's still speaking, but you said something really interesting there. He speaks on different channels. In other words, some seasons of your life, you'll hear an internal audible voice. Other seasons of your life, you just have impressions. Other seasons of your life, it's like every time you open the Bible, every scripture directs you to do the next thing. Sometimes dreams amp up. And by learning to open ourselves to all the ways that God might want to speak to us, I think one of the reasons why he changes channels sometimes is the Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search it out. So it's a kingly, priestly duty to search out revelation. So, everybody getting this? You're looking at me like I'm an alien or something. Everybody understand this? Okay, I just want to make sure. We've been over this ground before, but what you're about to hear, it's just sort of encouraging.
Okay, so I turn left and I drive all the way down Los Alisos. And there's Los Alisos and Rancho Santa Margarita. I drive down and there's a grocery store called Sprouts over there. And I see in the parking lot there is cop cars and ambulances everywhere. There's tape wrapped around this whole area. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I'm here for a reason. I want to see what's going on. So I park the car and I get out and I'm standing right by the tape. I'm just watching like everybody else is. And the first thing you see is this car. And there's a little boy about 7, 8 years old underneath the car. All you see is his legs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. The mom is hysterical. Like, you can only imagine. She's seeing her little boy underneath the car. He's probably dead. Don't know. You know, you don't know. So she's hysterical. And she turns and just like she just turns and looks, and she looks over at me from across the way. And she goes, "Oh my God, I saw you in my dream."
Okay, she's like, "You're just sitting on the edge of the tape, and you're looking in on this scene, wondering if the Lord wants you to do something. I assume, right? Is that what you're doing?"
Right. Well, my thought was, I'm excited because I'm here for a reason, and I know God's going to do something. But I'm just sitting here. I'm waiting for the moment. You know, you got to just wait for the moment for what God wants to do. So she screams, and she's like, "Oh, my God, I saw you in my dream. I saw you in my dream." And I'm like,
she's looking at you over there, and she's suddenly cursing, yelling. But she sees you, and she says, "I saw you in my dream." Was it like the night before or?
She said she had this dream 2 weeks before it happened. I mean, can you imagine having a dream about your son dying, and then all of a sudden you see a girl in your dream, and it comes to life? All of a, you know what I mean? Like, she's hysterical. She's cussing. She's this. She's poor lady. I just felt for her. So she's like screaming. So I go over there. I like duck under, go over there, and. I'm like, "Tell me about your dream." And she goes, "This exact scenario happened. I saw my son. He's underneath the car, and I saw you. But what I saw you do is put your hand on him, and you healed him." Those are the words she used. And I'm like, okay, so I know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm a pretty bold, anybody who knows me, I'm pretty bold, and I kind of do things without thinking of consequences. The Lord backs me up though, which is really funny. So I go over to where the accident is and the boy, and they were just about ready to like pull him out from underneath the car. He's not moving. He's not saying anything. I think he's dead. Like And they waited a long time to pull him out. So I think everybody else thought he was dead too. So they're about to pull him out, and I go, "Hold up, wait a minute, hold on a sec." And the cop kind of gets in my face. But now I think, this is my personal opinion, I think that cop was an angel. I think that cop was an angel because he looks at me, and I'm like, "Well, let me just do something real fast." And he's like, "Do what you need to do." This is what he says. You know,
as a policeman,
police officer, he goes, "Do what you need to do." And I'm like, okay. So I go over there, put my hand down on, the boy's legs. And I go, and I don't even know what to say. Honestly, the first thing, I'm not thinking, "Oh, I'm going to pray this long prayer." I'm not thinking anything. I'm just thinking, this boy needs to get up from where he's at, you know? So I just put my hands down, I touch him, and I say, "In Jesus' name, get up." Instantly, his feet flutter from underneath the car, and he starts crying. And so they pull him out quickly. And he gets up, not a scratch on him. Nothing. No blood, nothing. Now everybody's like, "Oh my God, he was dead. He was under that car. How is he got?"
Well, people are saying that around. They're saying, "Oh, he was dead."
Well, the people who saw the accident saw him actually get run over by the car. So there, you can imagine everybody's like, "Oh my God," they're just freaking out. So
this is people that saw the accident, and the little kid's legs are just sticking out the car. And then when they flutter, they get him out. He doesn't have anything, no injury. And the people now, the people are freaking out because they're saying he was dead. They all thought he was dead.
Right. So I'm a little shocked at this point. I'm like, "Oh my God, Lord, like, I don't understand what's going on other than this boy is, you know, he's alive." So they bring him to his mom, and the first thing he tells his mom is, he goes, "I wasn't here. I wasn't here, Mom. I wasn't here." And I'm getting chilled. So, I've heard about this more of the story later, but he just kept saying, "I wasn't here. I wasn't here. I wasn't here." And I asked her, I was like, do you know Jesus? And he's like, he goes, yeah, I saw these two angels brought me to this man named Jesus. And I'm like, and he goes, these two angels had double wings. He describes certain things that you'll read, you know, you read in the Bible. So I'm like, oh my God, he had a Paul experience. Like this little boy had
what?
A Paul experience. He went to heaven, you know, and he's like, he brought me to Jesus, and I sat on Jesus's lap, and he said his eyes looked like eyes of fire. He kept saying eyes of fire. His eyes were like fire, and the Lord, he's like, Jesus told me to go back because my mommy needed me. So that's what happened. But I got a phone call later, and the mom's freaked out. She's just like, I don't understand what's going on. Oh, before then, yeah.
You exchanged numbers.
Yes. And she accepted Jesus into her heart, too. So I just was like, Jesus was... The one thing I really emphasized was God really wants to make himself known to you. Like, he wants to be... He wants you to know how real he is. So she's like, well, I go, do you want to, you know, accept Jesus into your heart? And she's like, yeah. You just healed my son. I mean, she's still hysterical, you know. She's crying. And so we just did a little exchange. I gave her my number. I was like, call me. So she calls me and she says, my son has all these questions about heaven. So we get him on the phone. His name's Jacob, by the way. Yeah, great name. So get him on the phone. I'm like, describe what you saw in heaven. And he's like, I saw the pearly gate. You gotta understand, this kid has he's never read the Bible, nothing. But he has the language because he's been there. So he's like, I saw the pearly gates, and at the pearly gates there's these angels with multiple wings. And, he kept saying something about Jesus' eyes are like fire. And, he said they're so warm and inviting, and Jesus is really fun, and he's a kid, you know, he's like 8 years old, and he just describes a lot of things. He goes, you know, like in Narnia, the half horse, half human, he's like, I saw those flying around, and he will describe certain things where you're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. He had a lot to say, so I'm just kind of like, taking it slow. Mom's really, pray for her. She's really freaked out. She doesn't understand what's going on. I feel like the Lord really wants to bless her, though.
So you've been in contact with the mom. You've been going back and forth, talking to the little boy and everything. So you exchanged phone numbers at the site of the accident, huh? It says mom's just trying to cope with all this, huh?
Yeah, she's overwhelmed. She's really overwhelmed with just everything, the whole situation. She doesn't understand why this would happen. And I mean, I wouldn't either. The only thing I said was, you know, God really loves you and he wants to show you how real he is. And, you know, you guys have a place here and a family. And if you ever want to come to church with me, you're welcome to come. And just trying to get her to come. I know she's really freaked out, though.
Thank you, Michelle. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Now, this sort of activity is the activity that we're contending for, meaning that we're looking for. A matter of fact, even those impressions, those things, you know, it makes all the sense in the world that if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, which the Scripture says when a person gets saved, we become born again, born of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives on the inside. Romans 8 says if you know Jesus, you have the Spirit on the inside of you. How is it that we have the Spirit so close yet don't hear God's voice, that we don't experience what we see in the New Testament? How is that? Well, it's just a matter of believing. It's a matter of trusting. It's a matter of expecting. It's a matter of responding when the Lord does these things. So what the Lord's been doing in our midst, for you that are newer, and I see a few new faces here tonight, is he's been raising the water level, not just individually, in unusual cases like Michelle's, but also in corporately. One of the best testimonies I heard this last week was... we heard at the men's retreat, just a pharmacist in our church felt like he hadn't been listening, hadn't been expecting God to speak and move through him. So he decided, Lord, this day, I want to pray for somebody. So sure enough, right in the middle of this day, some guy wanders in. It's like he's in a daze. And he says, he he says, and he's one of my Terry's friends, well, actually one of the customers. And Terry could tell there was something wrong. And he said, can I help you? Can I pray for you? And he says, oh, please, please. My wife just went in intensive care, you know, and she's in a coma. And so they just, Terry knew he was on. So right there in the pharmacy, right there, he just began to pray for this gentleman. Isn't that awesome? And just that little response, but that's not the whole story. Because long story short, what happened was the guy left there, went to the room, and a nurse who had never been there before, a young man, like 19 years old, said, you know, I see that your wife's in a coma. Could I pray for her? And so he prayed for her. And as he was leaving the door, she had been in a coma for several days at that point. As he was walking out the door, her eyelids began to flutter. She suddenly became awake, and she came out of the coma. Isn't that awesome? Now, where that started was just a pharmacist saying, you know, I'm just going to pray today, Lord, for anyone that comes by my path. And it wasn't a spectacular thing. It wasn't like he had to hear complex words and get through a maze. It's just this openness. Now, there's two reasons why we need to do this. First reason is because the season has changed in the church. Not only our church, but the season is changing in America, and especially over our Southern California region. There's something brewing that has never brewed before. There is an amazing supernatural activity reminiscent of some of the Jesus people days. There's something going on here. This kind of phenomena that we're seeing is not an isolated incident. We see it all the time. We're beginning to see everything from headaches to cancer to whatever healed, and people having unusual experiences with the Lord, and especially this sense of boldness and signs and wonders out in the neighborhoods and where we go. I said the temperature is rising, or the water level is rising, but it's this anointing, by anointing, I mean this equipping that's going on isn't just an equipping that's going on with individuals. What happens when you hear these testimonies, what's happening to us is the water level's rising. So as we hear these testimonies, all of us are being inspired. Hey, you know what? I thought I had an impression to pray someone the other day, or I saw that person limping. I should have walked over and said, can I help you? Can I pray for you? That sort of thing. So what's happening is the level of inspiration is going up in our church, up and up and up. And not only ours, but others. And as it's going up, people are just taking a shot at it, just a risk. You know, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. And that's exactly how you see miracles, how you see. See, Jesus is so interested and so full of love for people. He just wants to see them do well. And so what happened with that woman is the Lord Jesus just ambushed that woman's life just surely, as we see in the pages of the New Testament, where we see these guys going to Samaria and Philip going there, and signs and wonders and miracles breaking out, and then disciples coming, laying hands on them, being filled with the Holy Spirit. These days are upon us. They've been upon the rest of the world, many third world countries, for many years now. But this is amping up now in our area specifically, and I believe of the United States as a whole. So it's an awesome season to live in. It's in the atmosphere. When it's in the atmosphere like this and it begins to get in the atmosphere, let me tell you something. Now's the time to take a risk. Now's the time to engage people. Now's the time when you see an accident or a problem, wondering if you might be the solution to that issue and not just a bystander, right? Now's the time because the season's changing. Now's the time. It's always been in season for us to help people who don't know Jesus and to heal the sick and raise the dead, cast out demons. Always been the season. That's part of our heritage. But I just want to say that these testimonies are meant to provoke you, encourage you. You know, even if it's just a simple prayer the pharmacist gave or something more dramatic like, hey, I saw you in my dream last night. And honestly, I will have to say that kid probably was dead and was raised from the dead. I mean, that's about, I don't know how much more you got to clearer than that, right? That's exactly what happened. We just had a miracle happen in our midst. Remember that one gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians? The gift of miracles? You ever wondered where that one is? Who's got the gift of miracles? Well, she just experienced it right there. Right here. Not in Botswana, not in the 1st century, not in the 5th century, 21st century. Laguna Niguel actually was over in, what, Mission Viejo or somewhere that way. Right? On the other side of the freeway. Right? Right here, right now. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's all stand. I'm just going to worship Jesus.